And we are talking here with Karen Stever of the band Stever, a band Randy here introduced me to a few years ago.
Yes, here's the fun part. Go back to the old glorious days of MySpace when I was simply known as Metal Wolf, and nice. Karen approached me. And, just, hey, would you like to hear some of my music? I'd appreciate your feedback. I can't remember specifically how it was put, but that kind of sums it up. That was the gist of it. And I remember at the time listening to a couple tracks, and I watched the video for a song called Funeral Mute. And this was off, the first album was Playground Isolator.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I believe my commentary to that was that you reminded me somewhat, it made me think of the unholy union of Chrissy Hynde and Marilyn Manson.
Why is that unholy?
actually, to me, it was, pretty awesome, to be honest.
Yeah. It's, the Funeral Mute, that was my character for that particular record. I was feeling particularly muted in my life, and, that's, that record helped me through a lot. When I was writing it, I was enormously depressed, suicidal, just as bad as you could imagine it. Music helped me get through it, but also people like you, Randy, in the online community that happened on MySpace. Remember the we were going to call it the heyday of MySpace.
Oh, it right? was.
It was such a great place. Blogging was good. You could talk to people. You felt like you were all kind of in the same room for some reason.
And, you did.
So it was a good time. And I think there was just, it became about six or seven of us that kind of started a group on there. And then it became, where I had a couple of 100,000 followers and
nice.
And blogging. And actually it was the blogging part that made so many friends because I would blog on the topic of depression. Well, it's sad to think that many people were going through it, right? But
sure, yeah, but they are.
But and those numbers are unfortunately growing, and so my goal is to get back to the playground again. So the whole journey has been about going from depression, getting back to the spirit of play. That is the absolute number one priority. Is just to
I love
inspire
that.
People to get back there again. Yeah. So MySpace, Randy, that's how long you've been around.
Well, here's the fun part. I had never actually purchased a computer until August of 2007. So, it was like one of the first ventures I did was setting up a MySpace page, and that was how the whole Metal Wolf, that started out as my email address, and it was right. my MySpace handle, and it became a character on the radio shows.
Now, you're located where, Karen?
I'm not that far from Toronto in Ontario, Canada. Yeah.
Okay.
If you hear me say about, then you'll figure out where I'm located.
How long has the band been together?
Well, I have been my last name since I was born. and then that I just sort of grab who I need to do what I want to do. So I worked with Frank Griner back in, I met him probably in Los Angeles. I was doing some digital editing on some of the records that he was working on. Do you know, Randy, do you know Frank? He co-produced Playground Isolator with me, and he also co-produced Idiot Savant.
I'm familiar with the name,
yes.
but I know him personally.
Yes, he has mixed a bunch of Rob Zombie records.
Okay.
Yeah, he's notorious for making things slam. And so I hunted him down and said, listen, we gotta do something together because I have all your CDs in my car. And I had, at that time, I had a really good speaker system in my car. I had a really crappy car and a good speaker system, one of those situations. Where's my priority? And all of his, everything, like the Methods of Mayhem, the Rob Zombie stuff, anything that he had worked on, just sounded really big and fat. And so I was like, I have to work with this guy. Well, it turns out he's a writer himself. He's a pro mixer. He's an arranger. He can do string arrangement, a whole bunch of stuff that I enjoy doing. So we got together and we worked on Playground Isolator. And I said, I don't want anybody else working on this record. I think, we're both multi-instrumentalists. And we'll just do this because I couldn't stand people at the time. I was just in that much misery. I just couldn't do it. And so he says, yeah, no worries. And so we did Playground Isolator together. And then I said, I want to do Idiot Savant with you as well. And he says, I would have it no other way. And
nice.
So, I don't think I can't imagine me working with anybody else at this point. It doesn't mean I won't, but it's kind of Frank and I that have been doing pretty much everything. And So
what instruments do you play?
Poorly or well?
Well, either.
Piano is my main instrument. I'm a huge fan of Beethoven. And then I play a little bit of bass. I play guitar enough just to, you know, do a campfire thing. And then, you know, I do a lot of string arrangement. I just absolutely love putting headphones on and getting into a Pro Tools session and just going through and just arranging and making things sound really symphonic. That's one of my favorite things to do. You know, when it becomes 6 o'clock in the morning and you've been doing it all night long, it's just absolutely awesome. But then, of course, I play accordion. My father was an accordion player. So
nice.
So it's a terrible instrument, but it's ugly and it's German, which is my background. So that just has to stay in there. But you tend to use these instruments a little differently. And you've probably, if you were listening to Funeral Mute, Randy, that's part accordion and part organ that make up that sound at the beginning. That's that really kind of creepy carnival thing. So I maintain that you can take any instrument and just make it super minor and it can sound badass. Doesn't matter what it is.
It worked.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now, do you have just the two CDs then?
Yes. Those are, I had a huge space in between where I've had mega, mega drama happen in my life. And it wasn't until last year that, did you guys follow that whole pledge campaign that I was doing last year?
A good chunk of it.
Yeah. So I started that in July. I just, you know, life got really bad for me and work and stuff like that at the beginning of last year. And I had enough people say, well, Karen, do you just need some help getting this record out there? And I'm like, well, yeah. And I know that, you know, Mark Miller, that's helped me with props and costumes and things like that, both him and Frank, who are my biggest supporters and have worked on all these videos and everything with me, they both had said, I think you can do this pledge campaign. And I'm like, I don't think anybody cares. There's been so much time between records. I can't imagine anybody caring at this point. And yet there was a whole bunch of people came and funded the entire thing, which was a 60-day campaign, and they funded it in 8 days. So I was like, wow, I guess there was somebody listening. And I'm so thankful for that.
You say that you didn't think anybody cared, because during this time I'm here thinking, man, when is she going to release another album? I was like chopping at the bit.
Oh, that's so nice to hear, Randy, because I think when you are sad, you can't imagine anybody in the world caring about you at all, far less your music. You know, it's just, it's a weird headspace to be in.
I do.
It's a real weird headspace. So yeah, I have the two albums, and this one, I really am going to stretch it out a lot because I really want it to be a book. I really want it to be a stage play. I really want it to, you know, like I said, I'll stalk Tim Burton if possible, just, you know, just get the most out of it, because it is a huge story and it's a story that needs to be told. And I'm really interested in people getting back and healing again.
I want to get to the new album, but I had one question about Playground Isolator.
Oh, yeah, go ahead, Randy.
You kind of took a unique way of selling that, because I remember when I purchased the album online, you had this thing where it was, you know, pay when you can.
Yep.
And did you find that a lot of people did come through with that?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I did in a fairly timely manner.
Yep. Some people took a little longer than others, but people did, absolutely. I think the part of the reason I did that was, I don't know if you remember, I think part of the depression that everybody was going through is because, you know, Canada and the U.S. at that time particularly, and consequently a lot of the world, was going through an economic crash. Like,
oh, yeah.
And so I was talking to some other people online, like the Emily Autumns and people, other artists that were online, Mary Magdalene. They weren't selling CDs. They just, no artist was selling CDs. And I said, you know what? I'm not interested in the money portion of this at this point in time. I just need people to hear this because I'm healing from this. And so I just need people to hear this. So if it's possible for somebody else to listen to this and heal, you know, or at least just help get them through that crappy night they're going through, then I'm just going to send it out to them. And I like to think that people can be trusted. And I think, you know, a lot of people appreciated that. I think it was a new thing at the time just to say, I trust you that you're going to pay me for this when you can. And they did. So, but I didn't, I almost didn't care if they did at that time. It was just, you know, something that I just needed to get out there and share with people. So yeah, it was a very unique experience. It really gave me a lot of trust in people again, for sure.
Yeah, that's cool. Refreshing to hear that.
I find even the bands that do the pay what you want type stuff end up with people actually paying them. Not everyone just downloads it for free.
I had people that gave me more because they were just so appreciative. Yeah.
I remember when Soraya and I don't know if you're familiar with Kimberly Freeman or One Eyed Doll. We talked to her just a little under 2 years ago, and she said that when they do the pay what you want, sometimes people will be very generous, you know, and some It balances out, and sometimes you even do come out a little bit ahead.
Well, and those people that give a little more will often say to me, can this cover somebody else's CD? How cool is that?
Yeah, you
know? It's
very cool. My problem now is that my audience has grown so much, I just simply can't afford to do it, you know? So, but at that time, I think during that economic crash and when people were really hurting, I think it worked out really well, and it just renewed my trust in people. Absolutely. It was a very good thing.
So the new record, it's kind of like you didn't severely change your sound, but it's very, you kind of refined the oddity of it.
Interesting. Yeah. Oddity as in AUD or ODD.
ODD.
Yeah. You know what? I think one of the first things Frank said to me on this record is Playground was one of those, I just threw everything at the palette because I needed to get it off my chest. And I was feeling a lot more creative. And it's funny, Randy, that you brought up Funeral Mute, because that was the song for me where I started to fall in love with lyrics again. And So Frank just said, listen, you are in a lyric writing mode. What order do you want to do this in? I said, I want lyrics first. Absolutely want lyrics first. And because it didn't always come that way in Playground. It was just whatever was going on in my mind at that time. And so I sat down and wrote all the lyrics for the entire record on paper as poetry before it ever had a melody put to it.
And I should know, this is a concept album for those who aren't familiar. Yes.
Yes, yes. It's a very large concept record.
It is.
And so I wrote it all on paper first. And so when you're talking about the kind of the oddity that happened, I think the good thing about that, Soraya, is that when you see lyrics on paper, all the music has to do that's in behind it is support that. So if I'm setting the first song green as a carnival, then the sounds that come in are just going to support what those lyrics are doing. So the song became the boss. And Frank and I have this thing we do when we produce even other bands and what we like when we're just writing with other people is just like, make the song the boss. It will tell you what it needs to do. Well, now I became an audience to my own music, which is pretty cool because things would just appear. It's like, oh, that makes sense. That has to go there. And then you do things a little bit more boldly and a little bit more unapologetically. And I really have gotten to a place, and Funeral Mute was the song that did this for me, was it got me to a place where I didn't care what people thought. So that's a beautiful place. And it doesn't mean I don't care about people or their thoughts. It's just what they think about what I'm doing, I don't care about. But when I'm done, I absolutely want to share. So it gives you a freedom. So you're sitting there working on these weird sounds, and it gives you this amazing freedom to just explore and be weird and be strange if you want to be. So I had a lot of freedom that way on this particular record.
It's a quirky record, I would say.
Yeah, right? Like you wonder about my sanity.
But in a good way.
In a good way. Because we're not sane either by any stretch.
And you know what? I love that it attracts the coolest people too. How cool is that you have this product that attracts like-minded spirits? Like that's even cooler. That's a whole other level of cool that happens when you release something that people relate to.
And I've been dealing with music for so long that I'm honestly very jaded about most stuff. Like I can hear something and be like, well, this is good, but I don't care.
Right.
You know, just because I've heard it before, I've heard other bands do similar things. So when I listened to your record and I just sat there mesmerized, I'm like, no, this is interesting.
I think one of the things I'm very proud of is the fact that it's unapologetic. And I'm like that in any genre that I hear. Or say if you go to an art gallery, if you know when you see something on the wall and you think, you know, that's not something I'm going to have in my home, but they meant that. Like they boldly did that. And there's something very cool about that. So I hope that if people get nothing else, that they understand that it came from an absolutely authentic place and that I meant it. I meant everything that I did on it. So thank you. That's awesome.
Do you want to tell people a little bit about the story behind it?
Yeah, that's Ian, yes. Some people have asked me if Ian is me. That's possible. That's possible. It's entirely possible. I picked a character who's 9 years old, and it's set back in the 1930s. And the whole story chronicles Ian's journey from going through hell and hopefully back to his rightful place on the playground again. And I think in the 1930s, like what a crazy time, right? Just set so many bad precedences that we're still suffering with now with, you know, kids on drugs and you know, the way that talent is handled now. Ian was a savant, but he's also muted. You know, he doesn't speak. So his communication is very different. He also has a very special relationship with animals, and that's why I have 50 of them on the record. We're going to see Ian kind of go through, you know, each video, like you saw in this recent one, for instance, with spiders or something. He's going to have different relationships with the animals. And he has some very special talents that are going to come out probably more in the book than what you'll see, you know, in any of the music portion. But he's a very talented kid. And his parents are, you know, either neglectful or abusive. And his relationship, he meets an organ grinder from New York who was banned from New York. And the two of them form a very special bond, and they hang out at this cool place called the Juggernaut, where all the animals live. And it's kind of like the Noah's Ark, you know, this where they can go and just have some peace, and the organ grinder can teach them some things. And, you know, consequently, there's Ian teaching him some things as well. So that whole time period I'm really interested in because it did set a lot of bad precedents. And we're seeing, you know, a rise in autism. We're seeing a rise in, you know, well, even just the depression that we talked about and touched on earlier. So the whole story is just, the goal is to just see people get back to the playground. And hopefully if they see Ian's journey and they can go with him back there. Because the last song, and you've heard the record, right? So it's the song Crushing Copper is about throwing pennies on the train track. And I don't know if you guys have ever done that. Put coins on a train track and watch a train run it over. But you understand the concept of that. Just like,
yes.
But that's what a bigger message about what the real value is in money, right? So, so that's the journey that we're going to see Ian going through. And he's a quirky kid. He's a little different. Yeah, there are parts of me in there.
Can you elaborate a little bit on the concept of going back to the playground?
Going back to the playground, just reuniting with our spirit of play. I think for people who are depressed, they have felt like the passions that they have. You guys are, you know, into music. If you have a home recording studio, for instance, it could be sitting with dust in the basement, and that's your playground. And for some reason, you're going through something that doesn't even make you want to be down there. You don't want to be in front of your music. Maybe you're a gardener, and you don't even want to. You just let the weeds grow over. You don't want anything to do with that either. And nobody seems to know why lately. And so if we can find out what our passions are, get away from people caring what we think, and then get back to the playground again, I think we're all going to be happier. And there's so much stress on us, right? As especially adults, is just to pay bills, to make sure our kids are clothed and fed, and then we're neglecting our own passions. And I just hope more than anything that people can get away from anger, get back to a place of compassion, and get back in touch with their passion. So to me, that's really about what it means to get back to the playground.
Nice. Okay. Now you've done a bunch of music videos for this. 3 so far?
Yeah. Yeah, they're all done from our living room.
Blackguard being the most recent.
Yes.
And I think Blackguard's my favorite song on the album.
Oh, interesting. I ask people that, and I'm hearing that a lot more. What is it about that song, Soraya?
It's the quirkiness of it. I mean, it doesn't sound like anything else.
Nice. Interesting.
And it's so catchy on top of it.
Nice. Yeah, all those videos were done from... Mark built this amazing rotating. If you go on YouTube, there's I think a 15 or 20 second clip of me just playing bass on this spinning riser and on a green screen.
The Juggernaut video, I think.
Yes.
You put that up.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's just done in the living room. I don't own a couch. I don't own anything that's like real furniture. I just don't own anything like that. So basically, we took one whole side of our living room, put green screens up, you know, got all the lights. He made this amazing riser that spins on wheels and painted that green too. And all the videos have been done from our living room here. So when we started with green, so you guys have seen Green, Juggernaut, and Blackguard, right? The three videos that
I've seen all three of them.
Yeah, awesome. I'm glad that I don't have to explain too much to you guys. You're kind of up on it. It's awesome.
I see them. I share them.
You're so cool. It's just so cool. I just love you guys. So we do them all from the living room here. And green, we built this amazing piano. Like, I got a real handyman here. He's just so great. We built this amazing piano that I went out in the garage and I said, I want a piano that's shaped like this. And I took chalk and I put it on the floor and said, you know, can you build this? And he's like, yeah, I've never built that before. But and then went and got the guts of another piano and constructed this thing. And then at the end of it, I looked at it, I said, I want a carousel horse to pierce straight through the middle. So we went hunting for carousel horses and then painted that. So that piano is kind of an example of how we do everything in our videos. We go to garage sales and find stuff. Just even with Ian, the doll that you see through the whole thing, I made him out of Sculpey clay and baked his head in an oven. And then I have a hairdressing background, which is helpful because then I just take old dolls and cut their hair off and put hairstyles on my dolls. And Yeah, everything we do is from home and really super dirt cheap. And the other reason I wanted to do that is because I want people to understand when they're watching this that it's not out of their realm to do stuff. If you have creativity and you can just, you know, find some stuff around your house or go to garage sales or wherever, you can do these things. I think, you know, the Hollywood mentality has always been that you have to pay $50,000 to have a video done, right? It's just...
Yeah, that's nonsense.
It's absolutely insanity. Now, thankfully, Frank Griner is good at animation. This is guys... You could have a whole interview with him, seriously. He's got so many talents. But he's been delving into the world of animation. So we kind of did the first video green with the dolls. Juggernaut, we started to involve some of the Crow animated, and then he's like, oh yep. My god, how are we gonna animate Ian? I said, I don't know, what do you want to do? He said, I need to scan that guy's head. And so he took my Ian doll and chopped his body in half, stuck him down there, and just like 3D animated his head. And now he's a character like in a movie, and I'm like almost in tears going, Ian's moving. And I'm kind of sad, like, Ian's in a bathtub. Oh no, get him out of that black water. I made him, like, seriously 6 or 7 years ago. Like, so it's just seeing him come to life is such a thrill for me. So,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so those are the three videos. And our goal is to do a video for every song off the record. And, so we'll see how that goes.
And you're also working on a book.
Yeah. Yeah, that thing's going to be a monster. I don't know if I'm just making up for lost childhood, but I'm feeling more creative than I ever have.
That's a good thing, though.
It is that's a good cool. thing. And I hope that when people kind of follow along with the process. And that's the other thing, is sharing your process can be kind of scary because, you know, you might do things that just don't go the whole way. And then people are like, well, what's that horse you made? It's like, well, it just didn't work out, you know. But that's the real way it goes behind the scenes. So I hope that these things can inspire as I'm going along and sharing them as well. But yeah, the book, basically how the book goes. If I can just go back a little bit to talk to you guys about the song titles, that'll make more sense with explaining the book. And cut me off at any time, because I'll just keep talking. So the 12 songs that you see on the record were concepts. The concept of that came from the song The Logical Song by Supertramp. That's how the whole thing came to be. That song was my absolute inspiration because, you know, it starts off when I was young. It seemed that life was so wonderful. And then by the end of that song, we become vegetables. And I was terrified that that would be how we would all end up. Like, because it just seems like how it's supposed to go. You go to work, you go to school, whatever you do. And then, you know, people get too political and mad and angry at each other. And then they just become a bunch of zombies, really. And so I took that and said, okay, well, what if that's not how it ended? And so that's why Crushing Copper is, you know, back to Crushing Pennies on the Track and Back to the Playground. Well, each one of those titles from the record is also the chapter from the book. So if you can imagine that the song itself is just a moment or a scene from that chapter that's just extracted. So I'm going to be filling everything in around it. Seems like a bizarre way of doing it. And I'll probably look back and go, okay, I'll write the book first and then write an album later. But it's just kind of how it came to be. So... yeah, so you're just going to basically see the whole album stretched into a larger story of the book.
And it's, nice.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Totally a lot of fun.
Any expectation when it'll be done?
No. No. And you know what? Randy, when I was glad to hear you say that you were actually waiting for another record. That's awesome. But because I have this new mentality that music is the boss, art is the boss, and it kind of tells me what to do, that could be just me making an excuse to be lazy. But it really is more interesting to me to also be kind of an audience to it. So I'm just allowing it to, you know, do what it needs to do. And I firmly believe that there is a greater message that needs to be told. And so I'm learning what that is as I go. And I want to do that justice. I want to make sure that, you know, if I'm spreading some kind of message, that I'm being responsible with what I'm saying. And so it might be just me overthinking it or whatever, but it's going to take the time it takes, unfortunately.
Now, do you play live shows?
Not right now, I don't, because I want to do the book. But that's okay. Something, you know, I kind of miss. I don't know if I miss all the, like, stuff in between shows. I think most artists will tell you that once they hit the stage, it feels great. And then then all the stuff like, oh, I can't, this burrito from this cafe that I got this morning is awful, and my hotel sucks, and, you know, just being on the road's awful, and I'm car sick, and I hate these people around me, and whatever. It's just, you know, that's never appealing. Like, that's the stuff that artists don't want their audience to see, because we want the audience to be excited about what they're seeing, right? But I just don't want anything to pull me away right now from the bigger focus of what this is. And truthfully, that's kind of the route that a lot of artists take, right? They go out on the road and they do the music and it kind of stops there. And I really want to explore all the mediums that are going around with this. Like, I'm talking to orchestral people right now because I would love to have this thing as a stage performance done by an orchestra. So it would be, the whole thing would be an orchestral arrangement. So I'm just, there's a whole bunch of other things I'm thinking of. And the live show is just, it's just lower on the list right now. It's not that I don't want to do it, and if it makes sense to me, then I'm going to, but it's just a little lower down.
Gotcha,
Yeah. So
the orchestral thing sounds kind of interesting.
It does.
What's that?
The orchestral thing sounds very interesting.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great? I think I'd probably just sit in the audience and cry the whole time, but but it's, you know, like the kind of Trans-Siberian Orchestra, or, you know, Apocalyptica has that amazing feel when they do their live performances. Mm-hmm. I would like, if I'm going to do something live, I would like it to be more like that than to just be a bar gig, you know? So that obviously takes a little bit more time and money to make something like that happen.
Did you say something about also doing it as like a theatrical production?
Oh, wouldn't that be a great rock work, like a rock opera?
Yes, it would.
I'm biting off way more than I could chew, right?
But it's good that you think big.
Well, the way I look at it is, if you aim for the top of the tree, you might hit part of the bottom of the tree, but if you aim for the sky, you might hit the top of the tree. Right?
Just, there you go. Yeah.
So where can people find you online?
KarenStever.com. I'm keeping pretty much everything there. I'm blogging there, and I want to get back into doing more video blogs again too. That's always fun. But yeah, that's, the store's there, videos are there, the blogs are there, and I even have a few recipes. Somebody asked me to put some recipes up online. I'm like, okay. So I have a food page. So I had some recipes. It's all creative, right?
I saw that. Was wondering about that.
Yeah. It'll probably come down at some point.
I'm looking through your page. And it's like, contact this. Food. Ooh.
I love food.
Is there concept album related food? Hang on.
No, I just love it. I'm like, I can put food on my site, right? And then I start to go, oh, I got too much stuff on my site, and I should probably take the food page down.
And where are the albums available?
They're on the store part of that page. Now, I've had some people say, what's going on with your iTunes? Why am I not seeing Idiot Savant up on iTunes or on Spotify or some of these other sites? I'm kind of sitting like a bit of a brat. I've mentioned this before, with my arms crossed, kind of watching what's going on with the music industry for artists, and there's a lot of rape going on. There's some bad deals where you're getting pennies on your tracks, and so I'm just sitting back and just kind of watching it almost eat itself. And so right now I'm just keeping the music on KarenStever.com, and I may put it up on iTunes and that later, but just, I'm kind of just watching what's going on with the industry, because it's kind of a bad time for artists right now. So yep, they can. And the other thing about the albums is I do sign them. So if somebody says, can you sign it to, you know, either my first name or my superhero name, then, you know, that I can certainly do that as well.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, is there anything else people should know that we didn't cover?
No, I hope that, you know, for people who are listening right now, that they feel super inspired to get back on the playground again, you know, just find the things that they're passionate about, maybe the things that they backburnered, and get back to doing those things again, because the original intention for you was to play. Absolutely. I believe that.
All right. Thank you, Karen.
Yeah, no worries. It was great talking to both of you today.